Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Through austerity and through renunciation of all attachments, we have become maidservants in the home of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is satisfied in Himself. Purport. During the same incident, this verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 83, Text 39, was spoken to Draupadi by a queen of Krishna's named Lakshmana.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatra Dharahana Paraha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya
जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण। दिस इज द आदि लीला ऑफ द श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत। द आदि लीला इज अ प्रेफेस टू द रेस्ट ऑफ द टेक्स्ट। There are 12 chapters here, and in the last few chapters of the Adi Leela, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami summarizes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And before that, he speaks about the different tattvas, the different principles, the different personalities. The first four chapters of the Adi Leela deal with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tattva. Who is Mahaprabhu? Why did he appear? And so on. The fifth chapter deals with Nityananda tattva. Who is Lord Nityananda? And the sixth chapter, which we are studying at the moment, is about Advaita Acharya, Advaita tattva. We are on the 75th verse now. So far, Kaviraj Goswami has described quite elaborately who Advaita Acharya is. He is none other than Lord Mahavishnu himself. But even though he is Mahavishnu, he has within himself a very deep sense of servitude to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Krishna. In fact, because Advaita Acharya is senior to Mahaprabhu by worldly consideration of age as well as initiation, Advaita Acharya was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Ishwara Puri, the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Advaita Acharya was senior to Mahaprabhu. But nevertheless, Advaita Acharya wanted to think of himself as a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very humble, always considered himself inferior to or subordinate to Advaita Acharya. He would always offer him obeisances. But this would embarrass Advaita Acharya no end. And he would always try to get opportunities to see that he would express his servitude to Mahaprabhu and that Mahaprabhu would accept it, but Mahaprabhu would never accept it. Sometimes by deceit, Advaita Acharya would accomplish his objective, by transcendental deceit and trickery. Then Mahaprabhu would chastise Advaita Acharya and Advaita Acharya would feel his life was successful. Because you only chastise someone who is dear to you, whom you have accepted. So Advaita Acharya is speaking in this section of the sixth chapter about the glories of servitude to Krishna. He says that love of Lord Krishna is such a wonderful thing that it imbues everyone who loves Krishna, whether that person is a superior, quote-unquote, or an equal, or an inferior, with the principle of deep servitude to Krishna. And then he gives numerous examples of this. He says, what to speak of me? Even Nityananda Prabhu considers himself a servant of Mahaprabhu. And all the other associates of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, they also consider themselves servant. And what to speak of us here in Navadvip? Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narad Muni, all the great acharyas of the past, they too consider themselves as servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, who is the father of Krishna, but he also considers himself the servant of Krishna. Balaram himself also, he was going to come to Balaram in the next verse. And then he speaks about the gopis of Vrindavan. They consider themselves the maidservants of Krishna. And now in these current group of verses from 72 through 75, he speaks about the queens of Krishna in Dwarka. They also consider themselves the maidservants of Krishna, even though their position is so exalted. Advaita Acharya of Kaviraj Goswami starts off by discussing a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. And these are verses quoted by Queen Rukmini and by the other queens. And finally, this verse has been quoted by another queen called Lakshmana. So the queens of Dwarka are special because they are so intimately connected to Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that in the spiritual world, there are many, many Vaikuntha planets. The chief amongst these Vaikuntha planets is a planet called Krishna Loka. And Krishna Loka has three divisions: Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. Gokul is where, which we call Vrindavan. And in Dwarka reside the queens and the other devotees of the Lord. There is some difference between the devotion that the devotees have in Gokul or Vrindavan on one hand, and that the devotees in Mathura and Vrindavan and Dwarka have on the other hand. In Vrindavan, the devotees have pure attachment for him. Whereas in Mathura and Dwarka, the love of the residents for Krishna is compromised. Not by any material contamination. Now when we speak about purity and impurity, we talk about contamination of the three modes of material nature. When we have material desires, then we say that our devotion is contaminated or is impure. But in the spiritual world, there is no trace of material contamination. So then, what does it mean when we say that the attachment of the devotees in Vrindavan for Krishna is pure attachment, and that the attachment of the devotees in Mathura and Dwarka is compromised? What do we mean by that? What is it that compromises that devotion in Mathura and Dwarka? It is the feeling of awe and reverence. It is a feeling that I am the servant, Krishna is the master. And because of that feeling being very strong, there is a kind of a gap. Although the devotion is pure, but that pure devotion becomes weakened, as Kaviraj Goswami explains in this text, by that feeling of awe and reverence. So even though the devotees in Vrindavan also consider themselves as servants or maidservants of Krishna, but there is no trace of awe and reverence. There is a completely uninhibited free flow of pure devotion. That is why Krishna prefers Vrindavan to all other places. And that is why Vrindavan is considered the topmost amongst all places connected with Krishna. So in any case, this is the difference between the love of Vrindavan and the love of Mathura and Dwarka on the other hand. Now, among all the different mellows in which one can serve Krishna, there is the Shanta Rasa, the Rasa of neutrality. Higher than that is the Rasa of Dasya or servitude. Then higher than that is the Rasa of Sakya or friendship. Higher than that is a mellow of Vatsalya or parental love. And higher than all of them is the Madhurya Rasa, the conjugal mood in which the devotee considers Krishna as a lover. This is something unusual. And even in the Madhurya Ras, Kaviraj Goswami has explained that there are these two bhavas. There is the bhava of Vrindavan, there is the bhava of Mathura and Dwarka on the other hand. And even amongst these examples, Kaviraj Goswami gives three examples of the topmost examples of those in the Madhurya Ras. In Vrindavan, you have the gopis. In Vaikuntha, you have the Lakshmis, the goddesses of fortune. And in Dwarka, you have the queens, the Raja Mahishis. Elsewhere also in the Adi Leela, Kaviraj Goswami explains that just as Krishna is a fountainhead or the source of all the incarnations or expansions of the Supreme Lord, starting with Balaram and then going on to Sankarshan and all the four-handed forms of the Lord in Vaikuntha, all the innumerable expansions and incarnations. But the source of them all is Krishna, of Vrindavan, Govinda, Shyamasundar, Nandanandana. Ete chamsakalaha punsaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. The others are bhagavan also, but Krishna is swayam bhagavan. He is the original personality of Godhead. So just as Krishna is a source of all the other forms of Godhead, Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's internal energy, his pleasure potency personified, she is a source of all his energies. She is a fountainhead of all the energies, spiritual and material, of Krishna. Even Durga Devi is nothing but a reflection of Srimati Radharani's potency, or Srimati Radharani herself. And Kaviraj Goswami says that Srimati Radharani's shaktis, or rather Krishna's shaktis, are in three categories, his energies. The gopis of Vrindavan, led by Srimati Radharani, they are the topmost shaktis, or the energies of Krishna. Then there are the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha and the queens of Dwarka. So these are the energies of the three categories, broad categories of the energies of Lord Krishna, the spiritual energies. So here we are talking about the queens of Dwarka. They are also relishing the Madhurya Ras with Krishna, giving Krishna great pleasure. Krishna had 16,108 queens in Dwarka. He married them at different times. Amongst them, 8 queens are considered prominent. And then there were 16,100 others whom Krishna rescued from the palace of his own son, Bhaumasura, because he had kidnapped those princesses and had kept them arrested within the confines of his palace. So these queens were married by Krishna. He brought them all back and had them accommodated each in one palace, a grand opulent palace. And Krishna stayed with each of them by expanding himself. So in each palace there was one queen and one Krishna. And when Narad Muni came to Dwarka, he was astonished to see that in every palace Krishna was dealing with each of his queens differently. There are some yogis who can expand themselves into 8 or 9 forms simultaneously. But Srila Prabhupada explains that each of these forms acts exactly as the original form does, like in a television set, you know. If you're in a television studio and you move your hand like this, you raise your hand, then every television set that is viewing the program, you will also seem to be raising your hand. It doesn't happen that in some TV you're lowering your hand, in some TV you're raising your hand. It doesn't happen like that. So the expansions of the yogis are like that. And Narad Muni himself is a great yogi. He's a bhakta, but he also has all the mystic opulences. So he was astonished to see that when Krishna was in each of these palaces, he was separately acting. there was no connection between his activities in each of the palaces. In one palace, he was playing chess with his queen. In another palace, he was giving charity to the brahmanas. In a third palace, he was playing with his children. In the fourth palace, he was performing some religious sacrifices. And in this way, in each of the 16,108 palaces that Narad Muni visited, one after the other, he saw Krishna doing something completely different. And he was behaving differently. And in each place, Krishna acted as if he was seeing Narad Muni for the first time. Oh, welcome, welcome, Narad Muni. When did you come to Dwarka? And Narad Muni was simply stunned. And all he could do was to just marvel at the most wonderful transcendental qualities of Krishna. He very well knew that Krishna knew what was in his mind. But he just went along because this was the Supreme Lord's desire. So this is how Krishna reciprocated with his queens in Dwarka. In the Madhurya Ras also it is explained there is a distinction between the Madhurya Ras in Vrindavan and the Madhurya Ras in Dwarka. In Dwarka it is called the Swakiya Rasa. Swakiya means belonging to oneself. Sva means it's within the institution of marriage. So when there is a conjugal ras within marriage, the formal relationship, that is called the Swakiya Ras. And the word para, parakiya, refers to another's. That means is another's wife. And that kind of relationship Krishna keeps with the gopis in Vrindavan. So there is the Parakiya Ras and there is a Swakiya Rasa. Now, the Parakiya Rasa is considered superior by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But because the material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world, therefore, the Parakiya Rasa here is considered abominable. Therefore, it is considered immoral. Because what is high in the spiritual world is low in the material world. So, if at all there has to be the relationship between man and woman, it must be within the confines of marriage in human society. But on the transcendental realm where everything exists in its absolute transcendental purity, there is no such issue. The Parakiya is considered higher because the quality of the rasa there is superior because there is no inhibition there. The complete flow. Of course, this topic is discussed elaborately. But factually speaking, from an ontological point of view, ontological means, it's a big word, but it means the state of being, of reality, is that all living entities are feminine in relationship to Krishna because all living entities are prakriti, and prakriti meaning energy is feminine. Krishna is Purusha, the eternal male. Therefore, all living entities are like the wives of Krishna in that sense. So even when we have the Parakiya Ras in Vrindavan, there's nothing objectionable or immoral even if one looks at it in this light, that they are all energies of Krishna. They are not separate from Krishna. So when Krishna consorts with the gopis, then that is perfectly legitimate. Because of who Krishna is and who the gopis are in relation to him ontologically. And in any case, the Parakiya Ras is glorified as the highest state of devotion to Krishna. Even when Krishna was in Dwarka, he would many times remember the devotees in Vrindavan. Sometimes he would, in the middle of the night, cry out the names of the gopis. Or he would cry out the names of his cowherd boyfriends. And even though the queens in Dwarka were serving Krishna to the best of their ability, and there was no shortage of anything in Dwarka, still Krishna could not be captured completely in Dwarka the way he was in Vrindavan. So the queens would wonder, what must be the quality of devotion of the residents of Vrindavan that even though Krishna is here in Dwarka and there is absolutely no lack of anything, still he has such a strong nostalgic connection with Vrindavan that he even wakes up in the middle of the night and cries out the names of the Brajavasis. So even though Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwarka is one, he is the same Krishna, but yet he is different because he is in a different mood. There is this pastime narrated in connection with Srila Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One time Srila Rupa Goswami was meditating upon some book he wanted to write, some drama he wanted to write about the pastimes of Krishna. And he included the pastimes of Vrindavan and Dwarka in that one volume. He combined them both. So he was thinking, meditating upon it. He even wrote the introductory verse to it, which is called the Nandi Shloka. And then he happened to go towards Bengal. He came to a place called Satyabhamapura, which was connected with Satyabhama, one of the queens of Krishna in Dwarka. And there, Satyabhama Devi appeared to him, a very beautiful lady, a queen, whom he understood to be Satyabhama because of the name of the place where he was, appeared to him in a dream and said, "Write a separate drama about me." Meaning to say that don't mix up the Dwarka Leela and the Vrindavan Leela. Write separate books, one about the Vrindavan Leela, one about the Dwarka Leela. So Rupa Goswami woke up from his dream and began meditating upon this. Then he said, perhaps that's what I should do. So he was anyway thinking about it and he happened to reach Puri. Then he met Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was very happy to meet him. And then Mahaprabhu told him, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan is not the same as Krishna in Dwarka. Of course, actually he is one, but Mahaprabhu wants to say it in a sense of rasa. He says, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. The Krishna who is in Dwarka is called Yadu Kumar, the prince of the Yadu dynasty. And he always lives there and performs pastimes with his queens there. Whereas in Vrindavan, he is the eternal transcendental cowherd boy. So don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. So write separate dramas. Rupa Goswami immediately understood what Mahaprabhu was saying. And he reflected in his mind, what was spoken to me by Satyabhama Devi is now confirmed by Mahaprabhu himself. So then he wrote two dramas. The names are, anyone knows? Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. The book Vidagdha Madhava deals with pastimes in Vrindavan, and the book Lalita Madhava deals with pastimes in Dwarka. Then Rupa Goswami was satisfied. In Jagannath Puri, of course, there is also consideration of Swakya and Parakya. And we see that in relation to the Rath Yatra and other festivals that take place. The Jagannath temple, as you know, is compared to Dwarka because there Krishna is worshipped with all kinds of opulences. He eats so many times a day, all kinds of grand dishes supplied to him. And he is there with Lakshmi Devi. When there is a period called the Anavasara, 15 days before the Rath Yatra, then it is also called Nibhrita, Srila Prabhupada explains, because he is there in solitude with Lakshmi Devi. It's the time when Lord Jagannath is said to be sick. He has some fever and all that. And then he is given all kinds of medicines and other kinds of medicinal drugs to relieve his fever. So at that time he enjoys a Swakya Ras with Goddess Lakshmi, the Goddess of Fortune. And then comes the Rath Yatra. And on the pretext of going out for a walk or a stroll in the streets, he takes a Rath Yatra ride and goes to the Gundicha temple. The Gundicha temple is considered to be like Vrindavan. And there Jagannath stays there. He doesn't come back so soon. Actually, he has promised Lakshmi Devi that I'll come back just in a day or two. Tomorrow I'll return. And then he doesn't come back. A familiar scenario in this world too. And then Lakshmi Devi starts getting angry. My husband promised me that he would come back tomorrow, but now 3 days are over and he still hasn't come. 4 days are over. And then there is a wonderful festival in Puri called the Hira Panchami, which happens on the fifth tithi, the Panchami tithi. And then the maidservants of Lakshmi Devi, they go to Gundicha temple. They go with sticks and they start beating the cart of Lord Jagannath. And they also get the servants of Jagannath and they give them a good thrashing. And then all the servants of Jagannath are begging for mercy. Please, please spare us. He said, no. Just see, who does your master think he is? He promised our mistress that he would be back in just one day. And now so many days are over and he hasn't come back. So ultimately then, they are arrested and brought before Lakshmi Devi. The grand festival takes place. Because Jagannath wants to enjoy the Parikya Ras in the Gundicha temple, which is Vrindavan, Gupta Vrindavan, secret Vrindavan. And actually when Jagannath comes back, then he is also remembering Vrindavan. In fact, that is a secret of the form of Jagannath. Jagannath is Krishna when he is feeling separation from the residence of Vrindavan. Jagannath is a form of Krishna in Dwarka. Even though he is there with all the queens and his other associates like Uddhava, he feels intense separation from the devotees in Vrindavan. And therefore, out of ecstasy, he develops this very peculiar form with his hands stretched out in the front and his eyes expanded. So we see that Lord Jagannath's pastimes are also very, very intimately connected to all these things. The queens of Dwarka, the primary 8 queens, we have Rukmini Devi, the senior most queen, there is Jambavati, Satyabhama, Lakshmana, Bhadra, Mitravinda, and so on. So in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva has, Shukadeva Goswami has explained how Krishna married each of these 8 queens and how he married the other 16,100 queens. So very wonderful narrations. We can absorb ourselves, our minds, in these wonderful narrations and try to develop the spirit of pure devotion and servitude to Krishna. In these verses, Advaita Acharya is quoting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam to demonstrate how the queens of Dwarka also are imbued with a very deep sense of servitude to Krishna. And in many cases, this spirit of servitude arose even before they had seen Krishna. Like Rukmini, for example. She had never seen Krishna, but still she was a pure devotee of Krishna. Because in her father King Bhishmaka's court, many sages like Narad Muni would come and they would extol the virtues and glories of Krishna. And Princess Rukmini would be there and she would hear the glories of Krishna. So just by hearing the glories of Krishna, she developed pure love for Krishna. And then finally she wrote him a letter that my father and brother want me to get married to somebody else, but I have set my heart upon you. So you please come and kidnap me and take me away from here. So this is a very important example and inspiration for us, because we can also develop love for Krishna even though we have not seen him. We see him in the deity form. Certainly that deity form is not different from Krishna. But someone may feel, well, I haven't seen Krishna face to face like the residents of Vrindavan or Dwarka saw him. But doesn't matter, we will also be eligible to do that simply by accepting wholeheartedly the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, as Rukmini Devi did. And then we can also write a letter to Krishna, please come and take away my heart, kidnap me. I am here in this material world, in material consciousness. Please take away my heart so that I can become your pure devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, so we'll stop here. It's 8:30. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.